Sue, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Sten? Potter?
Here. I'm going to read this language, but I'm not sure exactly why, except that Sam made us do it. He said, I'd like to remind folks prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Now, I know we're all here representing Debbie Murdoch, but we're going to waive the rules on the lobby stuff. So thank you very much for being here, and please, let's read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Celebrate the life of Deborah Lynn Murdoch and her work for the City of Portland and Portland State University.
This is being brought by the entire City Council, so I'd like to give the council members a chance to make any comments they wish, and then we can hear the testimony. Go ahead, okay. Adams.
Well, it's a bittersweet council item for all of us. Debbie was a friend to everyone in this room, I believe. And I always thought of her as sort of a, you know, the term wingman. She was a good wingwoman. Very smart and effective and funny. And she was always just a little bit to the back and to the side. But you definitely felt her presence. She was assertively friendly. And she, you knew that even if you saw her at a purely social event, that there was going to be a little bit of lobbying. And if you saw her at a lobbying event, there would be a lot of social. And it was very wonderful. I think it goes without saying that she has made PSU and Portland a much better place, not just because of the job and what she brought to the job, but because of who she was. She was also very warm and gave a lot of herself very graciously to the community, well beyond what she ever had to do. She is someone that I miss very much, and as chief of staff to the mayor, we worked very closely on a number of projects, and she was one of the most fun persons to scheme with I've ever had the opportunity to scheme with, and always in positive directions. So I'm going to miss her, but it is an honor to be part of this small tribute to her. And I know some of Debbie's family is watching on TV, and some of Debbie's family is here, and welcome, and I'm very sorry for your loss.
Well, I grew up here in Portland, and it isn't just that I was the first person in my family to go to college, and I went to Portland State. It was actually significant that I was the most least likely member of my family to go to college that is noteworthy. And so the opportunity that I was given by having a Portland State available where I could get a degree has been a very important part of my life. And since I've been in positions of public service, I'm really proud that I've always been recognized not as a person to lobby, but as a person to go to get help for Portland State to do whatever needs to be done. Deborah Murdoch, when I was in the legislature, quickly became, for me, the absolute most recognizable and powerful voice that I had ever been associated with since first attending Portland State in 1970. On Portland State's behalf. I'm sure there were others. I can't tell you who they were. I don't know who they were. And I know that people that come after Deborah absolutely know what the bar is they have to meet to equal what Deborah performed. And I want you to know that they weren't just incidental issues that Deborah fought for. They were issues of equity for Portland State in terms of the distribution of the dollars that the university system gets that she was square dab in the middle of, that Steve March and I were proud enough to serve in the legislature and support and help get done. There were issues of projects. There were issues of real accessibility for kids who absolutely would not have an opportunity to do in their lives what I've been able to do with mine as a result of the ability I had to go to Portland State. So for me, Deborah and I, and for Deborah, we never considered ourselves legislator lobbyists. We always considered ourselves partners and partnered, much like Sam is describing, to overcome what was a lot of institutional resistance to Portland State having its fair seat at the table, getting its fair share. And for that, we can never thank Deborah enough. We can never, you know, say enough nice things for that, for what she has left as a legacy up there. All of us would be very pleased to know at the end of our days we could have accomplished just a part of what she did for that institution. So for that, I am very grateful.
Well, I had the pleasure of knowing Deborah actually before her tenure at Portland State, when she represented the Oregon Association of Community Colleges. I was serving on the Portland Community College Board of Trustees at the time, and I think it was a good training ground for her because she certainly went on to excel in her ability to represent higher learning, quality higher learning in the Portland area. She's dealt with Salem for many years, and I don't know her so much from her phase with PSU in Salem. I certainly know her as somebody who was always present in any meetings I had here with PSU on just about anything. And I know her as just being a really kind and gentle person, so I can't speak to her. I can speak to her her good skills in Salem, but I was not witness to those firsthand. But I just remember Deborah as a very pleasant person who was so enthusiastic about, as I said, higher learning, and particularly higher learning in the Portland area. And that's a passion that has served us well, and so I'm very thankful for the service that she has given to all of the citizens of this area over the many good years that she had. So my condolences to her family, and I'll miss her.
Well, I'm probably the last one to have met Debbie, but I didn't get to meet her till I became mayor. So, you know, there's a lot of good things about this job, but that was one of the nicer things. Literally within days after I became mayor, I had a call, and this woman said, "Hi, I'm Debbie Murdoch, and I want to show you around PSU." And I thought, well, okay. You know, I went to PSU when I was a young guy, but it's been a few years since then, so I'll go back and take a look. And I was so impressed both with how PSU has grown and matured, but also the person that was showing me around. Debbie had, a special quality of being able to make you feel like she's known you all of your life and that you're the best of friends. And literally within a few hours, I thought, I really like this woman. She's a good person. She's got a good heart. And she certainly represents this school well. And over the last few years, it really has been a pleasure. Whenever something happened at PSU or there was something there, I knew that she would be on the phone saying, "I want you to meet the new president," or "Could you come to this event?" And, you know, as you all know, it was hard to say no to Debbie. And so I went to a lot of PSU events as a result. But, you know, as a result, I also grew to love PSU even more and know how much that it does for our city. And that that saying that's over Broadway Avenue, where knowledge serves the city, that has come to represent PSU to me. And as knowledge serves the city, I think Debbie did as well. She was a friend of not just our city, but of people. I was talking to some of my staff about my experiences with Debbie, and two of my staff members said, you know, she really turned our lives around. They were both enrolled at another university south of us, and but they were coming up to Portland, and I think one of them lived here. But anyway, they both met her, and this one young man in my office said, "I had never really thought about public service before until I met Debbie," and he's not only working in my office, but he's run some statewide campaigns and as just a tremendous human being. And he really credits Debbie with giving him a new way to look at things. And that's what she did for a lot of people. And that's what she did for me about PSU. So, and I want to say that I wish that Commissioner Sten was here. He would have a lot of good things to say about Debbie. This resolution was a product of all of us and something that we all wanted to do to show how much Debbie meant to the city of Portland and to the people who live here. So with that, I'll turn it back to Commissioner Adams, and he'll conduct the rest of the meeting.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the City Council. We have some invited folks today that invited to provide their thoughts. Dr. Reardon, the Honorable State Senator Kate Brown, and the Honorable Gretchen Kefauri, if you could please come forward.
Mayor Potter, commission members, for the record, my name is Michael Reardon. I'm the interim president of Portland State University. The university wants to thank you for honoring Deborah Murdoch's service to Portland State and to the city of Portland. We're also very happy that members of Debbie's family are able to be here today as you recognize her service. My own experience with Debbie goes back many, many years. I was at Portland State when she first arrived there, and was back again when she was finally gone. I remember over and over again Debbie taking me to Salem, telling me what to do, how to behave, who to talk to, and what I was to say. I followed those instructions always very, very carefully. I also had great times with her going to Washington, D.C. and visiting our congressional representatives in the nation's capital. And then I always insisted that we would have dinner at the Capitol Grill that I knew would affront her vegetarian sensibilities as well as her political sensibilities. Deborah had a tremendous impact on our city. Her skills were key in so many projects at Portland State. Some were public and visible, like the funding of our Urban Center building, but many more were just as important and went unnoticed, as she frequently preferred it. As you know, Debbie had a stroke in October. Anyone who followed her progress knows of her amazing discovery and her fighting back. She exhibited a will that we all knew her to have. What did she do after the stroke? She helped make sure that Portland State was successful into the future. Because of her unending commitment, we had a record increase in both operating and capital construction budgets, and this would not have happened without her. You all know this because she enlisted your support in this effort, and we thank you for that support. Just days before her death, she was calling into meetings scheduled before she fell ill to make sure that nothing slipped through the cracks, literally giving orders from her hospital bed. Those who join us here today to speak about her represent the administration, faculty, students, alumni, and of course the elected officials that she worked so closely with. She was loved by many, by the countless students she successfully urged to attend graduate school, those of us from the administration she always kept in line, the faculty she helped along the way, and current and past students. She will be sorely missed by us all. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Kefauri. I am not registered as a lobbyist for Portland State University. I probably should be registered for affordable housing and Iran, but I'm not. But I am here because Debbie Murdoch was, first of all, an intern with me in 1979 in the Oregon legislature and doing some childcare work, and it was kind of the beginning of her career. But anyway, this isn't about me, this is about Debbie, and I was afraid that I might get called on, so I looked on the website this morning. I know how to Google now, and I looked up Deborah, the name, and I discovered that it's Hebrew, which I knew having a daughter of the same name, but it means bee, and I, you know, bzz, bee, and I thought, What a perfect name for her.
And because, your daughter.
And my daughter, too. Again, this isn't about her today either. It's about Murdoch, as she was fondly known to us, who loved her. And I thought, that is a perfect name for her. And it also says, just as an aside, that its meaning is be biblical, a prophetess who summoned Barak to battle against an invading army.
Wow.
So that's what we know. We won't talk about Barak and what implications that might have in 2007. But anyway, it was you can learn a lot on the computer. But I wrote down a couple things because it's the only way I could get through saying anything. She was exceedingly kind. She gave compliments to everybody. It's what you expressed, Mayor Potter. Whenever she saw you, she told you how good you looked or how nice your outfit was or anything. It was always a compliment, which is rare in our frantic lives to do that, to take time to validate the other person, and she was a master at it. She could be exasperating at times because she had analyzed all the circumstances around any issue, and she knew it and understood it better than you did. She was tireless in her advocacy, whatever it was, for Portland State in particular, for students. I just teased Michael saying that I think our rapid growth is in large part thanks, Portland State's rapid growth is in large part thanks to Debbie's recruiting. In earlier times, for childcare, for Lessa Coyne, whatever she was working on, she was a workaholic, but that implies a negative thing. It was just that she put every ounce of her energy into these causes. We often urged her to get a life outside of her work, but that was not to be. She was an organizer in the extreme. I was thinking that last year, at this time, with the Komen Walk, she organized our delegation from Portland State to go walk in the Komen March for Beth Kutza, who had died earlier that summer from cancer, breast cancer. And she does the Frank Roberts Scholarship up at school. Whenever there's a void, she would fill it. If something needed to get organized or done, she stepped in and did it. And you all knew her, so I don't need to tell you anymore, but she was truly one of the exceptional people that I've ever known, and we're all going to miss her a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and City Commissioners. For the record, I'm State Senator Kate Brown. I represent Senate District 21, a little bit of Portland and the city of Milwaukee. I first came to the legislature in 1991, and I don't honestly remember a time without Debbie Murdoch. I've known her for several years. She was an incredible force at the Oregon legislature, and she had a vision for Portland State University, and she used her, shall we say, very strong will and her amazing passion and her love of the university to mold, to scrape, to get together the votes in the legislature to help realize this vision that she had, this vision of a fabulous urban university. And I still, to this day, don't know in the late 90s with a legislature, shall we say, that wasn't not exactly pro-Portland, how she got the bonding or the resources to make happen what she got happen. But she certainly accomplished many things. I guess I would wanted to take this opportunity this afternoon to urge, encourage Portland State University. I know there's a number of remodelings going on, maybe a new building or two. I hope that in the future we can dedicate one of those buildings to Debbie Murdoch. I think it would be a fit memorial given the time, energy, and passion she gave to the university. So I'd like to close with a quote by Thomas Carlyle. "The work of a good man, or a good woman in this case, is like a quiet underground stream, quietly making the grass green." And Debbie certainly has made an impact on thousands of students who I know, like Commissioner Leonard, whose blood will now be flowing green. So thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. I send my sympathies to the family, and thank you.
Thank you all very much. Dr. Rob Bertini, John Wyckoff, and Hannah Fisher.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and members of the commission. I'm Robert Bertini, and I'm an associate professor of civil and environmental engineering and of urban studies and planning at PSU. And thank you very much for bringing forth this resolution celebrating Debbie Murdoch's life and recognizing her work in support of the City of Portland and PSU. I think my job is to represent the views of the faculty, and we also have a student and an alum to talk from their perspectives. So I'm one of over 1,200 faculty members at PSU. I don't claim to speak for them all because I think I had a fairly unique chance to become friends with Debbie and to work with her. And I hate to say it, I don't have, I'm not a big Bruce Springsteen fan, but few people probably know that Debbie was, and even though I met him once when I was in high school, and she was always very jealous of me for that. But the boss actually could be perceived as quite a philosopher, thanks to Google also. And one of his quotes is, "When it comes to luck, you make your own." And that one made me think of Debbie, and I thought I would give a couple examples of how she applied that philosophy. And my first meeting with Debbie was very much city-related in that it was at the grand opening of the streetcar. I guess that was in 2001. And I had volunteered because my specialty is transportation. I was excited about this streetcar thing. I was fairly new to PSU and kind of wanted to meet people also. And so I was talking to Debbie, and she was just this force of enthusiasm and energy and, you know, bleeding green and white from all of her pores. And I had come from California, where in my area of transportation, there are about 6 university transportation research centers all over the state. And I somehow came up with this question. I said, "Debbie, why don't we have a transportation research center in Oregon?" Little did I know what I was getting myself into with that question. So afterwards, she asked me to give her more information about what these things are. And so I emailed her a PowerPoint map of the U.S., with no introduction, no subject, and just had stars on the map where the university transportation centers were in the country at that time. There was a big hole where Oregon is, actually big hole in the northwest, south of Seattle, north of Berkeley. So I think she took that map and that big hole where Oregon was as a challenge. And so that began a 5-year project that Debbie led to build local, regional, state, and national support for bringing a transportation center to Oregon. And through this process, she introduced other faculty and me to many extremely talented and wonderful people around the region and around the state who were actually interested in hearing about the teaching and research work we were doing in transportation at PSU. Of course, she also taught us how to present ourselves in a way that could be understood by focusing on the impact of our work, describing collaborations that were underway with transportation agencies, and doing all this in under 2 minutes. And so we all learn very quickly how to behave and how to present ourselves in an efficient way. I think this was a very healthy process for us and for PSU, and I was able to meet many great people at PDOT, TriMet, ODOT, Metro, the Port of Portland, and many other organizations who continue to be our strong supporters. And from that time in 2001, Debbie's vision was that PSU should be the region's research arm for transportation. And it's been wonderful to hear other people actually use that phrase. And I know that every time that phrase is used, that will be a little a spark. I know that she found it extremely satisfying to see partnerships with PSU flourish. And I take it now as my responsibility to make sure that they continue. And a couple examples of our work with the City of Portland include the Community and School Traffic Safety Partnership and also the Portland Operations Steering Team are two great examples of how our students and faculty are working with transportation practitioners on a day-to-day basis. And to be honest, through all of this process, I didn't know if I could do this, and I didn't know if we could be successful. But somehow I think she knew all along, and I'll never forget the moment when President Bernstein called me to tell me that the Transportation Center had actually come to Oregon. Of course, he first told me that it hadn't come, but I'll never forget that moment when what we were talking about, making our own luck, came true. Back to Springsteen for a second. He also said, talk about a dream, try to make it real. And I think Debbie was a great example in how she and the people she empowered to make their dreams come true could really do it. She was a living embodiment of helping others make their dreams real. Whether someone like me who had a dream of a transportation center, which might be a strange dream that very few people would have, people who were dreaming of new buildings or new grants or new partnerships, she opened doors for faculty and students that otherwise would not have been open. I also know she had some dreams of her own, and one of them was to ride in the bridge pedal. And I was lucky enough a little over a year ago to have the chance to ride with her in the bridge pedal in 2006, the 24-mile 8-bridge ride. So that was quite an exciting day for her. And, you know, in addition to Bruce, Debbie was rather quotable. And I find it interesting that her actual last words to me were two words that I heard from her literally thousands of times, and those are thank you. The last email, because she was emailing me from her hospital bed about a meeting with a staff member from Congressman DeFazio's office, she was very quick to thank and recognize others for even small things, and I received many notes and email thank yous over the years. And she also, by the way, reminded me to thank other people and write thank you notes. So as I've reflected on what Debbie meant to me as a colleague, mentor, and friend, and to PSU in the City of Portland, I think it's a little sad to say that we didn't thank her enough for her passion, energy, and commitment to making PSU and the city better and better places. So one way I think we can help keep her legacy alive is to remember to say thank you to the people in our personal and professional lives, people who we just bump into on a day-to-day basis for both big reasons and for no reason at all. I think it'd be a nice way to spread Debbie's spirit around, and I'll get things started right now by saying thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and members of the commission. For the record, my name is Hannah Fisher, and I am a Portland State University student. I had the honor of meeting Debbie Murdoch 2 years ago in Washington, D.C., when I was actually still in high school. Little did I know that when I came to PSU, I would soon be working very closely with her as I was in student government. And whenever we had anything going on, we were talking to the president's office, Debbie was always the one that we would talk to. And no matter how much pressure we were putting on or what kind of crazy campaign that we were running, Debbie was always very patient with us and always very kind with me. I wish I could have known Debbie better. I feel as if my time with her was cut short, as with many other students. And I would like to take this time to thank Debbie from the student's perspective, because so many of us didn't know what Debbie did for Portland State University. And so many of us who are lucky, like me, did know. So thank you, Debbie. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, members of the commission, for the record, my name is John Wyckoff. I work for Congressman David Wu, which is essentially another branch of the very large extended family of Debbie Murdoch. I'd first like to thank you all for honoring the memory of Debbie and the profound impact she had on many lives, on Portland State University, and on our whole community. I first met Debbie Murdoch when I was a sophomore at Portland State University, and a new reporter at the school newspaper, the Daily Vanguard. I'd recently volunteered to take weekly trips to the state legislature to cover the 93 legislative session. I had no idea what I was doing. Fortunately for me, Portland State had just hired a new director of governmental affairs named Debbie Murdoch. Writing a story about her in her new position, I sensed pretty immediately that she was someone I needed to know. Completely flummoxed by the legislative process, as I was at the time, it was largely through Debbie's persistent and cheerful coaching that I was able to navigate the process and write stories for my editor that were minimally intelligible. What I didn't know at the time was that this was only the beginning of 10 years of persistent and cheerful coaching that would have a profound and positive influence on my life and my career. I was like a great many young people for whom Debbie would invest time and energy mentoring, helping, and when necessary, badgering. In fact, you don't have to look too far in the world of politics and public advocacy to see the results of Debbie's mentoring, because helping young people in their careers and sometimes their personal lives, for those of us who could use the guidance, was one of her passions. For me, she gave me career advice, harassed me to quit smoking daily until I finally did, and in perhaps one of her most difficult and sustained projects, got me to complete 2 papers for a political science class at Portland State and finally get my bachelor's degree. She accomplished the latter after I had left PSU and was working as a lobbyist for the Oregon Student Association. Debbie would have Professor Klukas, to whom I owed this work, call me in the lobby message center at the Capitol and remind me that I was only 12 to 20 double-spaced pages away from a bachelor's degree. Occasionally, I'd just get a call from her, and through the speakerphone, she'd say, "John, I'm in my office, and I have Richard Klukas sitting here next to me. Why haven't you finished those papers yet?" Because you all knew Debbie, I'm sure I don't need to tell you, I have my degree. It's a similar story for many of those Debbie generously targeted. Emily Garrick was one of those. She was a student body vice president, at Portland State University when she got to know Debbie and recounted the following. "Almost 2.5 years ago, I was huge and pregnant. It was a new year and I was expecting a new baby in the summer. My whole world was changing and honestly, I was kind of freaking out. One part of my job at that point was to be in the state capitol every so often, and on one particular day I was wobbling around minding my own business trying to do my job and I ran into an old friend. Debbie was the lobbyist for the university I attended all 4 years of my college career. And notice I say attended and not graduated from this point. We had worked together on many projects. To say I respected and idolized her was an understatement. After a pleasant, hi, how are you, update on the baby conversation, she launched into me. Why had I gone to school for 4 years, walked down the aisle at commencement, and not actually graduated? Why had I skipped out of that one final paper and never finished it? Why was I 4 credits short of my degree, 1 measly class? Really? Why?" She had done her homework. From then on, Debbie emailed me weekly and called me at home and on the weekends to lovingly encourage me to get my act together. She even recruited a few college friends in her efforts. Finally, I relented and signed up for spring classes and worked with an advisor to complete those final credits and get my degree. Point blank, Debbie is the reason I graduated at all. I think Emily's story pretty well sums it up. Debbie was not only a great and constant inspiration, she was also the kick in the pants we all occasionally need to reach our potential. Our appreciation for what she gave all of us is perhaps only matched by how much we miss her. Thank you.
Thank you very much, folks.
We have one individual asked to sign up, and that's Promise King. Go ahead.
Mayor Potter, the rest of the city council, Wes, our phrases can't really describe the solemnness that I feel right now. Because I met Debbie as a young legislative aide to the Rockefeller. It was brutal for me in Salem because that was the first time I ventured out of Northeast Portland. I went to Salem thinking, you know, the world was right. I find that there are really mean people who treat you just simply because of the color of your skin. When I met Debbie, I was a very quiet legislative aide, as my friend Commissioner Leonard will tell you. I did not speak a word to anybody. I was quiet, do my job, and Deborah will always say, "Why don't you say something?" I said, "Deborah, don't get me started. I was so quiet." Then one day, Commissioner Leonard came to my office and said, follow me upstairs. So I went to Commissioner Leonard's office. God, why don't you say something? You know, like he always tell people now, he's not been able to shut me out. You know, we celebrated a document yesterday, Mayor Potter, a document that was included in all of our voices. And one of the things that I thought about it, you know, a document is not a document without people like Debbie Murdoch. People like Debbie Murdoch who values the human dignity, respectful, the sacrifice of life and human dignity. That was Debbie. You know, wait a minute, what? Without Debbie, and Randall and Steve Marsh there, and Commissioner Leonard, my life in Salem would have been terrible. She never called me promise. She called me Timbuktu. Timbuktu. Here's why. One day she said, how come you came all the way from Africa to get involved in politics? I did not answer that. I said, I will imagine myself in Timbuktu, Tanzania. I said, white woman, all among Maasai tribes, trying to get into the tribal dance. Would that be difficult? I did not answer her. So after that, she started calling me Timbuktu. I would say, Debbie, my name is Promise. She said, no, Timbuktu. I wish I had heard her. I wish I had told her that it was because of her that I got involved in politics. I wish I had said that. But today, Debbie, if you hear me, because of people like you, because of your tenacity, your respect for human dignity, because of your life that you shared with all of us, because of that, I got involved, a young man from Africa, and got involved in civil engagement. Because of you, Debbie, and because of people like you. Wait a minute. No word, Mayor Potter, can describe the damage of my sister. I call her my sister because when a good person is gone out of our city, there's always a vacuum that is created because you need people like Debbie who open the golden gate of greatness for some of us who are immigrant, pulling and toiling to get recognized, to be recognized by a woman of Debbie's acumen, by a woman of Debbie's stature. Mayor Potter is why I get involved. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all who signed up? Okay, please call a vote.
Adams.
I just want to thank Jane Ames from my staff and Mary Carroll for helping to put together the resolution. I also want to, again, acknowledge Jan Lane. I met you only at the hospital, and you and your family, in addition to a lot of other people, really did everything possible to make Debbie's final moments as comfortable as they were, and she was lucky to have you. Happy to be a part of this. Aye.
Leonard.
Thank you, everybody, for coming today. It was a wonderful testimony to Deborah's life and legacy. Aye.
Saltzman.
I also want to thank everybody. I learned a tremendous amount about Debbie from your testimony, and it's very moving. And her influence on all of us and on the city is really incredible. So thank you, and aye.
Potter.
Promise she did hear you. Thank you all for being here. I vote aye. Thank you. We have another little business, some more business to conduct, but not involving you folks. So if you wish to leave now, that would be a great opportunity, unless you want to sit through a really boring subject. exactly. Thank you for being here.
I take offense at that. It is, after all, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on a single day.
Okay. Commissioner Adams.
Mr. Mayor, I'd move to suspend the rules to consider an ordinance that would grant a revocable permit in the Pearl District area.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
Do we have to move consideration of the ordinance? I move consideration of the ordinance for which we just suspended the rules. Four.
Second.
Grant revocable permit to Pearl District Business Association to close Northwest Johnson Street between 10th Avenue and 11th Avenue from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on September 23, 2007. Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. We're adjourned until next week.
Thank you.
That was quick.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very nice.